Good evening, listening audience, and welcome to the Jasari's Love Show, a platform of home-based business 101, created by my husband of 30 years, the wonderful and loving Sikawi Baba Jahi, and I am Jasari's Love, also known as Sophia Jahi. The name Jasari's Love is Audacious Bold Love. And a lot of my topics will be about love. And we will be expanding on that topic this year. We are so excited that you are here today. This is my second Saturday in January to be on the air. And I am thankful and grateful to be able to be here talking with you and having you listening. I am hoping that I can be uplifting to the listening audience, give you some new views and ways of seeing things and doing things. And as time goes on, I hope that you can be an upliftment to me, because I do plan on having some people come on the show to share their experiences, their viewpoints, and just what love means to them. We're always going to keep it positive. We're just going to be in a sharing mode. And that is, you know, the basis of what this is all about for my particular show. I'm going to take a moment to just read the prayer that I use pretty much on a daily basis. I have several that I actually do every day. And this one in particular, my husband and I chose to do this one in the morning as often as possible. Sometimes if we don't do it, we may have to stop some things that we are doing to make sure that we do get that prayer in. And this prayer, he actually got it from one of the books that Yana Van Zandt had written. So the prayer is for the ancestral roots, ancestral spirits, and I'm just going to read that. And I hope that you can receive it in a positive way. Those parts that you don't understand, you can kind of put that to the side and just to glean from it the parts that resonate with you. And hopefully, as in a lot of things that Yana Van Zandt shared with us, as in my experience, you'll pick it up at another time in your life where you're either on the mountaintop or you're in the valley and you need that extra lift and inspiration. So again, before I read it again, welcome, welcome to the Jasari's Love Show. This is a Saturday afternoon at 4:30. The show was on Fridays at 3:30. We kind of changed our time, but we're excited to hit the year off. And so here goes, prayer for the ancestral roots, the ancestral spirits, prayer from Yana Van Zandt. Divine Father, Mother of Creation, we praise your name and honor your presence in this time and place. We give thanks for the air that we breathe. We give thanks for the womb with which our lives are created. We give thanks for the body through which you express yourself as us. Divine oneness, creative force, we give thanks for what we've been, all that we are becoming, all that we will be by your grace and your guidance. We give thanks today for all those who came before us, paving the way the gift of life could be ours. We give thanks for those who died in the middle past and their spirit lives today in the world that surrounds the earth. We give thanks for those who chose to live, whose names are forgotten or unknown. We give thanks for those whose blood is alive today in our veins, for their willingness to be an expression of their love and life. We thank you for, and this is my bloodline ancestors, Raymond Williams Sr., Annie Williams Sr., Raymond Williams Jr., who is my father, a very loving gentleman, Bessie Hawkins, Papa Hawkins, Daniel Palmer, and Geneva Palmer. Those are my grandparents. We ask you, fathers, mothers, brothers, sisters, and friends, to remember us in your spiritual minds, protect us from harm and danger. Guide us to do what is good and honorable, assist us and members of our family, both living and deceased. It is our heart's desire to receive assistance at all times to overcome our challenges with our businesses and our health and our dealings with other people and our own mortal progress. Good spirits, carry our prayers with you to the seat of the Creator that we may forever be in your grace. Guide us through our lessons, gently and lovingly, that we may be an instrument of evolution for us all. We thank you for your guidance. We thank you for your intercession in the matter of, and we stay there, whatever the situation is. And here, I'm going to ask the Creator to help me make this a really good year for my blog, talk, radio show, the information I'm able to share with you, to be able to get those folks on board that's going to be presenting this year. And I can't wait for Monica, the lady who actually loves trees as much as I do. I hope I love them as much as she does. And other folks that will be coming on the show. My sister, Ms. Kim Williams of Love Truth Ministry, to share with you. And that I have, of course, you know, better understanding, always more patience, you know, knowledge and wisdom. Good spirit, still our hearts and minds with perfect peace and understanding. We thank you for bringing to our consciousness the perfect solution in the perfect way at the perfect time for the best of all who are involved. And I do have to, I'd be remiss if I didn't put in an intercession for the new leadership of this country, Donald Trump, that there is somehow going to be something positive that's going to come out of him being this new president. I'm not going to go any more into that, but I do have to put in a prayer for us, the country, that we can still go in a positive direction, to have all of us who that is laid upon our hearts to go in a positive direction, to continue to be loving to our fellow human beings, respectful of those people who have disabilities and other life challenges, people who are from other ethnic backgrounds, other cultures, our Mexican and Puerto Rican Latino brothers and sisters, our Haitian brothers and sisters, to have respect and courtesy, and vice versa. We get to know each other and have respect. So I just want to add that to the prayer that goes out. Okay, so, you know, today I was talking about love from the perspective of first of all, identifying the Creator. And my take on it is the Creator is called by so many names, depending on, you know, how you were raised, what your culture is, your ethnic background. In my household, we called, we was known as God or our Lord, in some with Jesus Christ. And, but I have friends and other people who they look to their Creator as Buddha or Allah, and I accept all of those. I also am open to whatever name, you know, you call your Creator based on where you're coming from. I personally am not of any particular domination. I just consider myself a child of the Creator, Father, Mother of creation. I look at both male and female as part of having something to do with creating me. And I have a lot of respect and love for that energy and for that power. And I take time every day to step outside. It's kind of funny. I'll step outside at various times of the day, and I have a special outdoor prayers, irregardless of the weather, whether it's rain or shine or snow. It doesn't matter. I may not step out with so many heavy sleet now, but I'll usually wait until the weather calms down, and that's the case. But it's just that feeling of being outside and in tune with nature. And I think that is really important to take a look at that. I don't think that we spend enough time really reevaluating things and looking at things. And it's okay to take some time to think about how we really, you know, are supposed to be as human beings the word, I'm using the word human beings right now, but there's another word I want to use, mankind, you know, part of mankind. And it's important that we just take the time, and I'm going to say this over and over again, and I'm praying that somebody, you know, is going to listen. We as humans at one point in time prior to the Industrial Revolution, around the globe, we were more outdoors, in tune with nature, than we would be in clothes in either our teepees or our huts or our houses with four walls. Especially people who, the indigenous people of all the countries, the original Native Americans here, they had their teepees, but they did not spend all their time in it. They were a part of nature. It was all infused. The same thing with us as Africans. You know, we were not in our huts. We were not in our space. We were outdoors, outdoors washing the clothes, outdoors cooking a lot of the time, outdoors hunting, growing crops, mending, doing our festivals and ceremonies, a lot of things outdoors. You know, when you look at Hawaii, outdoors, look at the Pacific Islands, still a lot more outdoors, you know. Our Aboriginal brothers and sisters, those people that are native to Australia, outdoors. Anywhere that we go, we're just about in the world, more time outdoors. Even the people on the waterways, you know, around the world, the people anywhere around the world who live on the water, still what? Outdoors. What are we getting when we're outdoors? Well, we're getting plenty of vitamin D, sunshine, fresh air. We are interacting with butterflies, and yes, we're interacting with spiders and other creatures also, but the interaction is so different because it is accepted. It is, we become more knowledgeable of every creature that exists on the planet because we're not separating ourselves from them with all these walls. Now, don't misunderstand me. I have gotten so used to, I'm born and raised in walls. So I'll probably jump from a creature that I'm not used to, you know, first as my inclination, put my guard up, be aware, be careful. But I'm learning, I'm taking the time to learn to be more sensitive, to be more appreciative, to enjoy, observing how other life forms interact with us as human beings, as simple as, you know, the ants, you know, spiders, the bees, you know, all these different things. That is a part of learning and teaching yourself about love, appreciating the life forms that our Creator has put on this earth. And some of them we will never really like, you know, really like them. I mean, you know, we're not all like crazy about spider, especially if you think it's going to bite you or something like that, or bee, you know, getting a bee sting or something. No. But still, when we're not interacting and it's not a negative experience, a spider web is very intriguing and very beautiful. And some of them are huge. And, you know, this is, the formation is absolutely beautiful. When you see, you know, and it'll take the time to observe these flying creatures, whether they're butterflies, ladybugs, hornets, any of these things, dragonflies coming across an area, migrating. It is just amazing. And it's just taking the time to see God at work, your Creator at work, nature doing its thing. And it's a beautiful thing to see. Watching the caterpillars, watching the birds. How, you know, last year I shared with you the story about the squirrel and the cat and how the squirrel, you know, was jumped up in that tree after escaping, being caught, almost being caught by the cat. And the squirrel looked as though she had her, I said she had her hands on her hips and was like, lay that cat out, you know, from the safety of her tree. But the beauty of that is being able to notice it, to see the interaction between that cat, this regular little house cat, and the squirrel out in my backyard between my house and my neighbor's house in North Carolina. It's taken the time for that. And if we as humans could just take the time, consciously, deliberately, stop and say, you know what, I'm going to take a moment here and look at the tree that I'm standing beside, that I parked my car beside. You don't have to lean against it. Maybe, you know, maybe a lot of ants are on and they'll get on you and spot it and you're all upset. What about if you just look there and observe those hundreds of ants going up the tree and notice the hundreds of ants coming down the tree right beside them, and as they pass each other by, how they touch? Some type of acknowledgement. Each one of them, if there's 1,000 of them, each one of them is going to touch the other one as it goes by. Like, what is it all about? Are they saying good morning, how are you, to each and every ant that they see along the way? How often do we get up and leave out of our house and say good morning or good afternoon to each human being that we see each day? Or how often is it that we turn our heads and try our best to avoid them, to ignore them? Yet we call ourselves one of the highest life forms on the planet Earth. Let's be more loving. And I'm telling you, it's not always easy. I actually have moments that I'm shy. Yes, me. But I breathe in, dig down deep, and I say, you know what, Lord, when I step out of this house, I'm going to say hello, good morning, good afternoon, good evening to everyone. Get on the bus. It's real easy in North Carolina to get on the bus and say hi to everybody. That's what people do in North Carolina, at least where I was at in Rocky Mountain. They say hi to everybody on the bus. Hi, how you doing? Where you going? How you been? How's the family? So I decided to go ahead anyway and bring that to Baltimore. And I find that when I get on the bus, I say hello. Somebody usually says hello or good morning back. Have a nice day. Say it to the bus driver. Even if they're grumpy, say it anyway. To the cab driver, to whomever you're interacting with. Being loving is a practice. It is a conscious effort. It is a thought. It is a request asking the Creator, wow, you know, am I loving at all? You know, most of us want to be loved. We go crazy wanting someone to love us. Oh, my goodness. We want to be blessed by our God, our Creator. We want our mothers and our fathers to love us. We want our brothers and sisters to love us. We want people to acknowledge the things that we do. We want our neighbors to notice us. We want our coworkers, our bosses. We want to be treated nicely when we go places. We go to restaurants and places like that. Now, I know there's some people who don't want this. You know, you have a rare person who they're looking to go places and have an argument, a fight, but actually they want attention. They actually do want attention. They have love. They accept love in a different vein, a different way. They like to be combative. But I think the average person, the more normal human being, would like to go into a restaurant and the waiters and waitresses, you know, walk up and greet them, good afternoon, how are you, how many people are in your party, and sit you in a real nice place, and you get prompt service, and you smile, that food coming out looking good and tasting good and nice and hot. You feel like somebody cares for you at that precise moment, at that precise moment. Let me give you a couple of examples of love. Last week, my husband and I was out, and it was going to snow. It actually did snow. We were staying at a hotel. We were in Baltimore City traveling by bus. We didn't stay at a real fancy hotel. We stayed at a really, really average hotel, and when we got on the bus that morning, actually number 53 bus up off of Rogerstown, the bus driver took the time to lower the bus. He said, give me a second, I want to lower this bus for you. So he lowered the bus, and I stepped up, and I thanked him. And I said, good morning. And I said, thank you so much for lowering that bus, because that really, you know, made it easier for my leg. You know, getting up on the bus, not really, you know, energized, but I have to admit, listening audience, Cynthia, just hard as long, had picked up an extra, quite a few pounds, and I was feeling it, okay? And, oh, yeah, I want to let you know I am working on that, by the way. But it really made me feel good that out here, and I think it was like 17 degrees last Sunday morning, my husband and I was catching that bus around 10:08. For him to smile, to lower that, say good morning, and to lower that bus so that it would be easier for me to get on the bus. And we had a little bit of conversation. I got a chance to tell him a little bit about my travel business. I gave him my card and everything. And then I, when it came time to get off the bus, we got off at the number 77. Those of you in Baltimore, you know what I'm talking about. Right there, we got off right at the subway stop. Well, where the bus, you know, where that school bus goes. And the point is that when we got off, he says, wait a minute, do you all, he saw us waiting. And he said, you all waiting for the next bus? We said, yes. He said, you know what? I have to sit here for half an hour. I know their bus might be 20 minutes. You all can come back on the bus and tell the people, there were five other people waiting, they can get on this bus and just wait until the 77 comes. You see, that was an act of love. That was an act of love. So anybody who rides the 53 who knows this extremely handsome bus driver, by the way, by the name of Vincent, he was showing love. It's just as simple as that. He saw people outside in 17-degree weather. He knew that the next bus, we all wanted the next bus, it was going to be at least 15 to 20 minutes, and he let us sit there. And it was interesting because we could have sat there and chit-chat or whatever, but everybody kind of sat there and was kind of serene. You know, it's okay to have those moments of serenity. And there was a lot of things I wanted to do. Being a business person, I wanted to share my business. But I kind of felt like everybody was just so thankful. They just wanted to just enjoy the peace of that moment, the thankfulness of what that gentleman had done. And as each one of us got off the bus when the 77 came, everybody said, thank you so much. Thank you for letting us be on the bus. Have a great day. Thank you so much. And that's what it's really all about. It's the little things that we do for and to each other. The other day I was looking at something funny on, I think it was Carol Burnett's show. Actually, so I love Lucy and Carol Burnett. But I like to look at something, the old stuff sometimes, and laugh. It's just fall out laughing. And on Carol Burnett, well, you know, on her shows, they're always arguing between her and mama, right? So husband and wife, I don't even know their names, but this is one with the mama character. And they had just come in from a wonderful church service, and they were all so excited and so filled with the love of God and with the sermon that the pastor had shared, the preacher had shared that day. And each one of them was trying to figure out how were they going to use that in their lives. And as they proceeded to share how much joy it brought them and how they had learned the lesson about forgiving and being more patient and understanding, you know what happened. An argument broke out. And, you know, because you know how Carol Burnett is, and it was hilarious because it was just what most, I won't say most, but some people do. In my travels across the country, I have seen some interesting scenarios with people, and it is so interesting how many people spend their day attacking each other verbally, you know. And, you know, one of the best shows that show us as humans how we do that to each other is Carol Burnett's show that was shown back in, you know, the 70s and early 80s. So anyway, Carol wants to apologize to her sister because her sister and her had some words, and her sister had been mean to her and nitpicked, and her sister's out traveling and just enjoying the world, and I think her sister feels as though because she's such a worldly person that she's better than Carol, you know. And so Carol now wants to forgive her. But actually, in her process of forgiving her, what does she do? She ends up having another argument. As a matter of fact, Carol's over her mother's house because her and her husband have taken the mother to church and he stayed for breakfast, and he's complaining because he does not want to have the grits. I think it's the cream of wheat that the mother, his mother-in-law has fixed, because actually he agreed to take her to church because he's looking forward to going to church and on the way home stopping at the Waffle House and having waffles or pancakes. So it's so funny how all this is going on. But look, listen to what I'm saying, and what I'm saying is it's the little things. It was the fact that he was disgruntled because he had to take her to church, but, you know, the silver lining for him was dropping his mother-in-law off, spending maybe a few minutes after church at her home, but, you know, leaving there and going to this Waffle House. But when he said that he was hungry and we wanted to go to the Waffle House, his mother-in-law thought she was doing him a favor by telling him that she already had some some cream of wheat. And when she went into the kitchen, of course, you know what he did? He talked about her. What do people do? He had just come out of church, and right, he started talking about her. I don't want any of her cream of wheat. I was looking forward to, after spending my time taking her to church, he was looking forward to the waffles. And his wife, Corbinette, was looking forward to what? Calling her sister and apologizing and forgiving her. So she gets on her mother's phone, and mother says, who are you calling? And she says, none of your business. And, of course, that starts another argument. But we all know that when we tell somebody none of your business, especially if we say it in a certain tone, it's going to cause an argument. So these to be bicker back and forth. The sister and Curl bicker back and forth. I can't think of the sister's name, but the main thing, I think her name is Elaine or something like it, or Eileen or something like it. And it's just so funny listening to these people who just left church, were so filled with the, quote, Holy Ghost, but they didn't realize that there was something missing between what they thought they wanted to express and what they received and their actions. Because it's a process. It's actually a process. It's a conscious process. But it was funny because they stopped several times and say, oh, look how I'm acting. Each one of them, especially, you know, Carol Barnett, she feels so guilty, you know. Look at how I'm acting. So I'm saying to myself and I'm saying to you, the listening audience, do we stop, catch our breath, look in the mirror, as Michael Jackson's always said, the man in the mirror, and say, oh, my goodness, am I acting the way that my creator wants me to be? Am I treating the next person, you know, with decency and love and being courteous and being understanding and being tolerant and a certain amount of tolerance and, you know, that sort of thing. So, you know, I wanted to share that with you as, again, we're thinking about love, loving of our creator, you know, enjoying every moment, looking at the beautiful blue sky, really looking at the blue sky. You know, this is 2016. To be really honest with you, we don't know how many clear, beautiful blue skies we're going to have at the rate we're going with this out-of-control climate situation, with the changes in the environment due to man's pollution. So I am asking my listening audience to encourage in a loving way as many people as you can to stop, take a deep breath, and prayfully they're breathing somewhere where the air is, you know, somewhat decent, and look at the clouds and the sky and the sun and the moon and the stars. I mean, you have to be careful looking at the sun. You can't just go looking at the sun, but, you know, if it's real strong in your eyes, that's a pretty much indicator not to stare at the sun, but kind of look kind of in that direction, but not directly into it. Stars and the moon at night. Come out sometime at 2:00. I mean, in some neighborhoods you have to be careful, but if you live anywhere where you think you can step out at 2:00 or 12:00 at 4 a.m. and take a deep breath and do a prayer and observe the sky and the moon and the stars and do your personal prayer. The outdoors, that moment, can be your prayer room, like the movie The War Room. It can be you and the Creator outdoors together, a moment of silence. Because think about it. Most of our ancestors spent more time outside in continuous prayer. As they went about their day, prayer was a part of their day. It wasn't just set aside for Sunday. It wasn't just set aside for their meal, or was just set aside when they were in sea or had to go to war or somebody was getting married. It was just appreciating this awesome puzzle. It had to be the greatest puzzle for them thousands of years ago. They had so many more questions than what we have. We have so much more knowledge. We know what water is. We know what air is. We know we call it H2O and oxygen, whatever we call that. I don't have all my science stuff in front of me. But we know about vitamin D. We know that the sun is warming us and healing us. And we know about the aloe vera plant. We know about the tomatoes and our poisonous. We know that some mushrooms are. But look at our ancestors, what they did not know, and how they had to really love God when a new baby was born and just cry when they had no idea what was happening when they lost their first loved one. Think about it. Those first people on the planet, how that must have affected them and their interaction with different animals and things. And as time went on for those different people in different lands, for our brothers and sisters in the continent of Africa being able to walk and talk with the lions and the giraffes and the elephants and the wildebeest and the zebras and the tigers and all those different animals. And our brothers and sisters over here in North and South America being able to deal with the bobcats and the deer and the bear and the possum and maybe even anaconda snake, whether it's a fear of them or to respect them or to understand how to avoid them, and the tarantula spiders and the black panthers and our brothers and sisters in India and the different animals that they encounter, and our brothers and sisters in China and Japan and Australia and all of Europe and Hawaii and Antarctica and Alaska and just the Philippines, just Austria, every inch of the globe, how to understand that there is something that made it rain. There's something that made it snow. There's something that's made it dry outside. And observing how the caterpillar goes into this crystallized cocoon type thing, and then after so many weeks or months, it comes out a beautiful butterfly. We have all of that information now, but our ancestors had to learn it and see it and observe it and be afraid of it and then realize what not to be afraid of. Get bitten by something and survive. Get bitten by something and somebody dies. Taking the time to love, respect, and cherish that existence is such an important thing. But it requires to consciously take the time to do it, to deliberately, to want to stop when you're in a shower and thank God for the water. It's clear and it feels so good in your body, and it refurbishes you. It just it gives you energy, it re-energizes you. How a sip of water, how a sip of orange juice or cranberry juice, it energizes you. Sometimes could be carrot juice. I do that sometimes. Tomato juice. And just so overwhelmed. I actually get overwhelmed because I'm just amazed at how when I go from one to the other and I'm like, let's say that I was thirsty and I decided to drink juice, but really what I needed was water. You see what I'm saying? While I was driving water, I really lost wow when I got the juice. I'm like, oh my goodness, I love this juice. This is awesome. So I'm just, this conversation from Bridget Sarris, Love Joy, is about us as people paying attention to the given, which is God, the planet, what the Creator has given us, the air, the blood that runs through our veins. I started going back to the doctor just to get my annual checkup, which I don't get annual. I probably haven't had one in 7 years because I am not a go-to-the-doctor kind of person. But I decided, okay, you got to get back into the system, go to the doctor, and get blood work and all that kind of stuff done and everything. Thank God. Thank you. Came back fine, even though I am overweight. And I'm going to share with you my way, and I have a reason for that. First of all, I just think it's to be transparent. I went in a matter of a month, I'd say maybe a month and a half, from 201, which is not a good weight, to 216. I'm screaming, right? 216. And I feel it, okay? So to all my brothers and sisters out here, and I mean brothers and sisters in two ways, my African brothers and sisters, and then my loving brothers and sisters, the people who love people and love the Creator and love goodness and God and harmony and peace, wholeness and sweetness and calmness and, again, harmony, respect of other people. You know, I'm just sharing that for a moment with you. And I said you gone? I said to my creator, I said, look, I know I'm just screwed up here. I done got up here with my mom and my sister, and I was eating that ice cream and cake, and I had, oh my goodness, what else did I have with the whipped cream? Yes, and it all decided that since I wanted to eat it, it was still with me. So, yes, I know. No more of that, okay? And to pick back up on my walking and my exercise, okay? But, you know, out of that, I am grateful that the Creator says, okay, you know, you did all this crazy stuff to your body, eating this stuff, but I'm going to give you a break, and I'm not going to let you get the diabetes or any of this stuff. Thank you. But I know that I have to get to work. So you know how the doctors are. You know, she gave me 2 weeks to get my blood pressure. I'm sorry, my blood pressure was up. Everything else is fine, okay, listening audience. But the blood pressure was up. And so she said slightly. I told her I never had it up before, except for once in my entire life. And that's when I hit 201 the first time, which was about 2 or 3 years ago. Then I got it down. I got it back down to like a fabulous 185, okay, everybody? And I was working my way to 175 when, you know, something else came up and I kind of got off course. But I'm just kind of sharing this with you because, again, love. Loving what the Creator gave to us. He gave me a healthy body, and I'm thankful for that. And he allowed me to continue to be healthy, even though I did not do what I was supposed to do, and I gained 216 pounds. So my commitment to God and to myself is to, you know, work on getting it back down. I've been out walking and exercising, and I love it. I love walking anyway and exercising. I don't love walking trying to get weight off, so I will be honest with you, but because I love walking, I know walking is healthy. That is one of the best things for me, you know, and it's an aggressive walk. I can't just walk slow, but I'm not walking as fast as I was when I was eating 198 because of 16 pounds, trust and believe, I feel it. And so I just want to let you know, be loving to yourself. If you picked up any weight, let's all work together to get it off. And maybe we can text each other or email. I'll give you my email. And we can kind of, you know, keep up with that. You know, it's up. It's today is whatever today's date is. I think the day is to be honest with you, I don't even know what today's date is. I think it may be the 12th or 13th. So let's just work on getting that weight back down so we can enjoy 2017 and go forward with our weight being what we know that God wants it to be. One of my role models and y'all who from last year heard me say, Ernestine Shepherd, okay, from Baltimore, Maryland. She's a bodybuilder. She's one of my heroes, and her weight is glorious. It's beautiful. She's toned, and she's 20 years my senior, and she looks 20 years younger than me. Her body, at least her body does. And so, that's a serious thing, but I'm not tripping. I'm not going to get upset. I just know that she made a choice when she was in her 50s. Not too much further from my age. I'm 61 now. She made a clear, concise decision to get her weight down. Okay? So, and then loving your temple and loving what God has given us, again, this all resonates and has to do with love. So that's what she did. So I'm back on point, back on a mission. But this has to do with the rest of my life. And I asked my sister to join me because, you know, with Ernestine, it was her and her sister. So they asked my sister. My sister is 10 years younger than me. She's a wonderful 51 years of age. And her weight is up, but she's going to work on that. So we'll work on it together. Very, very, very important. Working on that, working on those specific things together is very, very important. As we're out and about with our fellow man, I was telling you about the cab driver. Yeah. I was going to tell you about this cab driver. Anyway, I don't think I started telling you about it. But just interacting with other people, and some people are very frustrated and very, they are aware of their attitude and they're not aware of customer service. And I'm in a business where I have to be very aware of attitude and customer service because I have my own travel business and I have my own performing arts company and I do motivational speaking. So keeping that in mind, my sister and I and my mom were riding in a cab, and the cab driver was having a fit coming down Windsor Mill Road near Rolling Road, immediately set right. It was 4:15 in the afternoon, And the right-hand lane was totally backed up because of construction. They had the people with the flags. But the people with the flags did not realize that at the corner, they didn't have enough staff to get somebody there at the corner to readjust the traffic so the people making the lefts and rights and going straight would not bogart each other, you know, and just ignore giving each other a chance to get through. So this right lane, we were catching it because everybody was making their laps or going straight. We're just taking the light. That's pretty much what was happening. And we were blocked. We kind of blocked off. So he couldn't go that way, so he decided to go straight, almost has an accident. And then he had to stop because the traffic is backed up on Windsor Mill Road. So instead of going down Rolling Road, he's at Windsor Mill Road. So this is for people in Baltimore. If you're not in Baltimore, you can imagine a road where you want to make a right, and now you got to go straight. And he's sitting there in traffic when someone across the road winds their windows down and says, "Excuse me, Mr. Cab driver, but if you're trying to get your passenger somewhere, then you may want to make a detour because there's an accident in the road ahead." So he thanks the person, which was good, and then he has another fit. And he's trying to figure out which way to go. So we all engage each other in conversation, and we told him, you know, "Hey, you know, you can slow down. We're not in a rush. We want to get what we want to get safely." When he reveals to us that he's under pressure, he needs to be at the place to drop off his cab at 5 o'clock. And that's what he's upset about because he's going to get charged. He's going to get charged extra money if he does not have the cab dropped off at 5 o'clock. And so we said, "Well, okay, well, you know, just still slow down so we can get there safely, and you can get where you need to get safely. I believe you make it." He says, "Oh, y'all don't understand. If I don't make it there, oh, he's going to charge me this extra money, and, you know, working for this person is like being in hell." And so then he said it's bad enough that, you know, they're losing business because of the Uber businesses and the Lyft businesses. And so he says, and he's just fussing, and I don't know what happened first. First of all, my sister went to get in the cab. He had things on the seat, the front seat of his cab. And he didn't really want to move these things. It was three of us, you know, me. I told you I was gaining these extra 16 pounds. I'm overweight. My mom's within this one, and my sister is overweight also. But besides that, we don't have to squeeze three people in a place where you can have two sit in the back and one sit in the front. And so I began to say to him, I said, "Well, you know, you may be losing business to Uber because of poor customer service. Do you mind if I speak honestly?" And he says, "Well, that's not what it is, but you can speak your mind, but I don't think." And I said, "Well, do you mind if I actually speak honestly? Do you want to know the truth?" So he says, "Well, I don't think that's the truth, blah, blah, blah." And I said, "Well, do you want the truth from a customer who's catching quite a few cabs and Uber, and I've used the Uber service. I haven't used the Lyft service yet, but I have used Uber several times. I love my ride with Uber coming from the train station. Oh, my goodness, it's just so effortless. And I know that the Uber driver has room for my luggage because I'm sorry, Baltimore City and Baltimore County cab drivers, you are not allowing space for your passengers when you know you're picking them up from the train station. You know we've got 2-3 bags. You know you're picking us up from the grocery store because we call you from the store. We tell you we're at the store. That, you know what I'm saying? People out here, you know, about customer service. You know you've been to these stores and customer service." So, again, getting back to being loving, right? Okay, so I'm trying to tell him. So I said, "You know, I just want to share with you so you can have an idea." I said, "For example, when my sister needed to sit up front, good customer service would have been that you would have automatically made sure that she could sit up front and that anybody could sit up front without feeling guilty, without feeling as though we were invading your personal, your house, your living room, you know, your bedroom or something. We're in a cab, public transportation. You are, okay." And so then, you know, I think he began to see it, you know. Again, it's little teeny things, communicating and sharing. I said, "You know, I said, would you have me not tell you? Or would you have me lie to you and tell you everything was fine? Or would you appreciate me as a customer, not complaining, calling anyone to complain, but just wanting to share with you that that was not a good greeting for me and the passengers, you know, feeling as though we're inconvenienced, you know, having to take up space in your cab, which was designed to pick up customers. I'm quite sure some people out here have experienced that. And so these interactions that we're going to have in 2017, some of them are going to be intergenerational. I'm 61, and I'm seeing that there is this whole different way of looking at life from some people that I'm running into that are in their 30s and 40s. And I have to learn, and I think that generation has to learn, we all have to learn how to understand each other, but more than anything, respect for the elders, just because we are elders, respect for each other, for young people, no matter what age they are, and that is by listening, respect in how we tell each other whatever it is we have to tell each other. Is it okay for me to tell you the truth? You know, do you mind me, you know, telling you what happened, the honest truth, that kind of a thing? It's not going to be like sweet truth, but it's the truth and how it affects it, you know, our lives and all of that. And those are the different things, you know, in being loving, paying attention to our surroundings, each other. Again, getting back to loving the Creator, our God, loving creation, loving yourself. So the cab driver, again, you know, he was complaining, and so I said to him, I said, is there any reason why you're limited to working for this cab company or doing this line of work? What is causing you to feel that you have to push yourself through this on a daily basis? And I gave him my card. I said, you know, would you consider looking at something else? Would you consider some other options? So, again, opening people's minds up to understanding that I don't think any one of us is totally, totally trapped. We may have to work two jobs to get rid of one that was just driving us crazy to be able to get itself into a position of one that we do love or doing work that we love. Which, of course, brings me to what I do. I love working and interacting with children. I love teaching crochet. I'm currently writing right now on a book or two. And I love traveling with people, experiencing museums, places of history, of course, places of nature. I love plays, not the high on the shopping end of things, but I do like going out tasting healthy foods. I love nature, the mountains, and things of that nature. So those are some of the things that I wanted to share with you. If you are out there and you're anywhere in the Baltimore, Maryland area and you want to learn crochet, you can let me know that by emailing me at jasarislove@gmail.com, and that's J-A-S-K-R-I-S, the word love, L-O-V-E, at gmail.com. Or you can text me or call me at 252-406-0774. I'll be more than happy to be able to meet somewhere and share with you that art form of crochet. I'll go over my fees and things like that. I believe that everybody needs to be able to have more than one way to have either hobbies, or that hobby can become a business. So crochet, you can very well sell whatever you make. So that's a beautiful thing. You can also make things for gifts, especially my friends who celebrate things where you like to give things like I do for Kwanzaa, things like that, or for birthdays. I want to do more of that myself. Again, be more loving and more loving of yourself, your time, and others. This is a good time for me. I'm in Baltimore. I'm having an awesome time, spending time with my mom, who is 89, my sister, who's 51, my brother, who's, I think he's turned 63 or 64. And it wasn't planned. We had to leave North Carolina because of Hurricane Matthew. We got displaced. But I just want to say that if you have older relatives, whether you get along really good with them or not, take the time to, if you can, and what do you think about it, find a way to get back into their lives and spend some time with them. And it's going to take, again, some patience on your part, and you have to relearn each other. I'm relearning my mother. My mother is weighing what I used to weigh. I think my mother probably was weighing 118 pounds. And I'm weighing 260, what she had gone up to probably when she was in her same age. I don't know. But I'm going to reverse, not going to reverse, I'm just going to shed my weight. I don't want her to gain any weight. And she loves to dance thing. I told you that in 2016. She loves to dance. She's 89, and she can dance, okay? She loves to dance, and she can dance. Yes, she can. So I want to share that with you. Have a great relationship with my sister. She's my only sister, and we have a fantastic relationship. But we consciously work on that relationship. We've had some agreements that we've made that we're not going to argue about things, fuss, or treat each other badly. We will discuss it, debate it, and move on. And I have a good relationship with my older brother, which I'm happy. And I have three more brothers, actually. My relationship with them, this is okay. You know, one of them is great, the other two, this is okay. That's how life is, you know, it's okay. But the point is, it's just not great making it better, right? It's a choice that we make. And it's sometimes it takes two or three people to work on it together. But for those of you who have older people in your lives, your aunts, your uncles, your grandparents, your parents, stop the madness. Stop being so busy. You're not that busy. I know you think you are, but when they're gone, they're gone. I'm so blessed that I had the opportunity to spend time with every last one of mine, okay? My dad, he passed in 1989. I had all my life with him at that point in time, good relationship, and I'm grateful for that. And that's because I was blessed that he was just a wonderful person. And the other people that I've lost in my life, my aunts and uncles, every last one of them, I had a good relationship. Could have been even better, sure, but it was good. We spent time together. I went to their birthday parties. They came to my wedding. I went to their dinners. I went to their, you know, to things that the family had. It's a good feeling. You know, we had good things that we said. Thank God they were nice people. So I have no regrets in that area. And I'm happy about that. My last aunt that passed away had a good relationship with her. I knew that she was a writer. I knew what she loved. I knew that she loved to sing. I didn't like the way that she passed, the way she passed at the nursing home. But I was glad to be able to go there and visit her. And I visited her in New York where she lived. I feel good about that. And her husband, my Uncle Harris. And there's so many others, my Uncle Philip. I feel good about the relationship I had with him. Always positive, always good. He was always encouraging. So that was good. And so I'm saying this to you at age 61. This is a great time for those of you out here who's on the fence and not too sure to pull that piece together in your life. Consciously write down, get a book out, how am I going to make my family life better? And especially the people right in your house. You've got to have a loving environment. Show the God in you right in your house. The five of us that's over here right now, we're sure in love. Is everything 100% the way we want it? No. But do we do grace together in the morning? Do we have a nice breakfast? Yes. Do we do prayer with, you know, a prayer together? Yes. Do we listen to music that is inspiring and happy and joyful? Yes. Do we spend time dancing with my mom whenever she wants to dance? We found a way, consciously, deliberately. Do we eat each other's cooking and like some of it and hate some of it? Yes. Then we put the extra salt and pepper in and fix it up, right? Do we all want to use watching at the same time? Sometimes we do, but then we work it out. We just say, oh, you know, I'll wait until you get done, or do you need that in the morning, or we communicate. We take the time to say, think about how we're going to say whatever we're going to say to each other so it can be a little bit better than it was last year, the year before last. It's a conscious decision. You have to pray for that and think about it and work it, work on it. Consciously, I've got some of my stuff in my mom's house and my sister and my brother's way. I move it. And I have to re-straighten out probably once every week. I got to re-straighten out my little bit of stuff. Yes, I do. But I'm conscious about it. It's important to me. That's another thing. Make it important. Make the way you treat people, the way you affect people, the way you may get in their way or rub them the wrong way. Make it important to you that you do things different and better. That is what I'm doing. That's the way that I'm doing it. Now, that might not be the best way, but that's one of the ways. It's a strategy that's working for me. It's all about consciously, deliberately wanting to be loving. It's a conscious, deliberate desire, your heart's desire to have a good relationship with your brothers, your sisters, your mother, your father, your aunts, if you possibly can, and the people outside of your house, your coworkers, forgiving them, and then staying away from people that are toxic. You know, if there's someone who they just hell bent on being mean to you, you got to stay away from them. And let's be real about that. Definitely stay away from people who want to fight and throw things and argue. You can't be there. I'm going to end because it's getting close to my time. So consciously put yourself in a peaceful situation where, you know, if you're going to try different strategies to be the person that's going to try to be, I mean, actually realistically from your heart more loving and more easily to, you know, show love. Because it can't be fake. You can't be condescending. You can't be trying to be funny. You know, I see a lot of that on TV, like the Atlanta Housewives and I'm married to a doctor, married to my job or something like that. No, none of that stuff. That's just purity foolishness. I'm talking about genuine. You don't have to have your boob job and your eyelashes to feel beautiful type of thing. That's what I'm talking about. But if you do have the fake boobs and the fake eyelashes, be sweet, please. Don't just look pretty and be ugly. Oh, my God. There's nothing like all this fake stuff and then be fake on the inside. Oh, Lord, have mercy. So I want to say in closing that this is the Jasari's Love Show, and I love you, and I'm loving this time with my family, and I'm enjoying Baltimore. I'm in Baltimore County, looking forward to interacting with the mayor of Baltimore City, because that is my city, and I want my city to strive and thrive. You can reach me at 252-406-0774. Just text me your question. Text me what you're interested in, or text me if you're interested in sharing your idea of love. You can also reach me at jasarislove, jasarislove at gmail.com. That's J as in joy, A as in air, S as in sunshine, A as in air, R as in rise, I as in island, S as in sunshine, the word love at gmail.com. Signing off, what the world has now is the Jasari's Love Show. Giving you love, 2017. It's about me giving you love, us giving each other love. Kuji Chagalia, respect. Self-determination, have faith, and do whatever you're going to do with unconditional, true, wholesome, peaceful, harmonious love. Have a good week. See you next week.